Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. That website again is media.heraldsofhope.org. God has blessed and expanded the ministry many times over. Today, Heralds of Hope is sharing the gospel in nearly 400 times every week. God brought this ministry into existence, and He has provided for its growth and continuation. He's used it to evangelize the lost and to teach believers how to walk more faithfully with Him.
In Leviticus chapter 23 and verses 29 to 43, God instructs the children of Israel to observe the Feast of Tabernacles. This feast was held immediately after the autumn harvest and was one of the three annual feasts where all males were required to appear before the Lord in the place He chose. The Feast of Tabernacles is also known as the Feast of Booths. The primary purpose of this feast was to remind the children of Israel how they lived in tents, in temporary dwellings, during their wilderness wanderings. To remember this time, the Jews were to build small tabernacles or booths with walls of intertwined branches and thatched roofs as God instructed them. For 7 days they were to live in these booths as a vivid reminder of the days in the wilderness, living in tents. During those 40 years, the children of Israel had a very simple lifestyle, but God supplied all their needs. Jewish people yet today fulfill this commandment by constructing a booth. It must be made of something that grew from the ground and was cut off. Things like tree branches or corn stalks, bamboo reeds, sticks, or 2x4s, and constructed so it will not blow away in the wind. The roof of the booth must be left loose, not tied together or tied down, and the covering must be placed sparsely enough that the rain can get in, and preferably sparsely enough that the stars can be seen through it, but not so sparsely that more than 10 inches is open at any point or that there is more light than shade. Compared to a house, even one in the New Testament times, the booth was a very primitive accommodation. Now, I share this information with you because I believe it has a direct bearing on the text we will consider today. In the last 5 verses of Luke chapter 10, we have the account of Jesus visiting in the home of Martha and Mary. This visit takes place during the Feast of Tabernacles. As we examine this portion of Scripture, you will see how the purpose and themes of this feast highlight and enhance the teaching of Jesus. I've titled our study, One Thing is Necessary. Let's turn now to the text, Luke chapter 10 and verses 38 to 42. That's Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Now it came to pass, as they went, that Jesus entered into a certain village, and a certain woman, named Martha, received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about, much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be be taken away from her. The choices of the three characters in this text show us how to choose the one thing that is necessary in light of eternity. The first choice is Martha's extravagant accommodation. In the opening verse of the text, verse 38, we learn that Jesus is continuing his journey towards Jerusalem, and in the process, he enters a certain village. Now, we know from later events that village is Bethany. Since Bethany was located near Jerusalem, many travelers to the holy city would pass through the village. And it was only common courtesy to offer hospitality to those pilgrims if and when they approached the head of the household with such a request. As we already know, Jesus and the 12 were among the pilgrims going to Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles. In this village, Jesus is welcomed kindly by a certain woman named Martha. Based on the later details of the text, it seems that Martha was a woman of some wealth and position. And like those women mentioned in Luke chapter 8 and verse 2, she used her possessions to minister to Jesus. Now, if you recall, the opening of this chapter records the mission of the 70. It's quite probable that some of those kingdom ambassadors who were sent out into every city and place where Jesus himself would come found lodging in this worthy home. So then, when Jesus arrived, his person and character were not totally unknown to his hostess. It seems from the language of the text that this is the first meeting between Jesus, Martha, and Mary. Later on, this household became a special place for Jesus, and he had a close relationship with these sisters and with their brother Lazarus. But you notice that Lazarus is not even mentioned in our text. Why not? Well, remember, all Jewish adult males were required to make the pilgrimage to Jerusalem for this feast. So Lazarus was most likely in Jerusalem, fulfilling his obligation under the law. The narrative now informs us that Mary, Martha's sister, sits at the feet of Jesus, listening to the things he is saying. Since this was during the feast, most likely this conversation was being held in one of the booths that was built for that observance. We will focus on Mary's choice later, but it fills an important place in the narrative now because it places Martha's choice in bold relief. The observance of the Feast of Tabernacles was designed by God to be a happy celebration, a time of joy and rejoicing. But as we'll see, for Martha, it turned into a high-stress occasion. Verse 40 informs us that Martha was distracted by the details of serving. Distracted from what? She was distracted from truly honoring this most honorable of guests. It becomes clear from the rebuke of Jesus later in the narrative that the preparations she was making were much more elaborate than was necessary. So picture with me, if you will, Martha, in the course of her preparations, hurrying back and forth past the booth where Jesus and Mary were sitting. Every time she passes the booth and thinks about all that needs to be done to complete her preparations, her resentment toward Mary grows. In her mind, Mary was a slacker. Some of you have felt that way about others, haven't you? Finally, Martha can't take it any longer. She interrupts her busyness to complain to Jesus. "Master, are you not caring that my sister has neglected me and left me to serve all alone? Tell her, then, to help me." Martha's statement implies that prior to Jesus' arrival, Mary had been helping her with the preparations, but now she had left off helping to sit at the feet of Jesus. How could she be so thoughtless, so uncaring? You know, it's our nature, when we're offended, to seek others who will agree with us in our hurt. Martha appealed to Jesus' sense of fairness. But Jesus, as usual, saw the root problem, and he saw it in Martha's heart. So instead of addressing Mary, as Martha hoped he would, Jesus addressed Martha and her need. He spoke to her about her choices. I want you to note the tenderness of Jesus' response. "Martha, Martha." He went on to say, "You are anxious and agitated because of your elaborate preparations." Jesus had a deep love for Martha. He has a deep love for all Martha types. You know, the ones who place more emphasis on atmosphere and decorations and variety of food than on fellowship and a spirit of contentment. The Lord's priorities are not the same as ours. Jesus isn't as concerned about our lace tablecloths and clean kitchens as we are. He's more concerned with the state of our hearts. He's more interested in the time we spend at His feet, reflecting on His words and resting in His presence. Jesus goes on, "Only one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the best, which shall not be taken from her." Ponder that statement with me, will you? What was the one thing Jesus was referring to? Did he mean that a one-dish meal was sufficient to meet the needs of the guests during this time of the Feast of Tabernacles? Possibly. Or was the necessary thing spending time in the presence of the Master, listening to what he had to say? Why couldn't it be both? What Mary had chosen would not be taken from her. Our physical existence is only temporary. Martha's penchant for elaborate accommodations would end with the end of her physical life. Mary's choice of relationship would last into and through eternity. That puts things in their proper perspective, doesn't it? And that contrast leads us to the next choice.
But we'll have to wait until next week to learn what that next choice is, because we're out of time for today's broadcast. And I surely hope, friend, you can join me next time on Hope for Today. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, One Thing is Necessary. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address, again, is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. That's Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. You can request an audio CD or a printed copy of this entire teaching, One Thing is Necessary. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact us with your request for a copy of this teaching is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. That's Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request an audio CD or a printed copy of this entire teaching, One Thing is Necessary. Send your request to my email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging on to the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. So log on to media.heraldsofhope.org. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study in the Gospel of Luke. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.